May the Lord help us to commence this afternoon with hymn 1097. 1097. A refuge for sinners the gospel makes known. 'Tis found in the merits of Jesus alone. The weary, the tempted and burdened by sin were never exempted from entering therein. Hymn 1097.
Thank you. read Psalm 30, Psalm 63 and Ezekiel chapter 11. Psalm 63. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied, as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. For those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Every one that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. The book of the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 11. Ezekiel, chapter 11. Moreover, the Spirit lifted me up and brought me unto the east gate of the Lord's house, which looketh eastward. And behold, at the door of the gate, 25 men, among whom I saw Jaazaniah the son of Azza, and Pelatiah the son of Benaiah, princes of the people. Then said he unto me, Son of man, these are the men that devise mischief and give wicked counsel in this city, which say, it is not near, let us build houses. This city is the cauldron, and we be the flesh. Therefore prophesy against them. Prophesy, O Son of Man. And the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me, and said unto me, Speak. Thus saith the Lord, thus have ye said, O house of Israel. For I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. Ye have multiplied your slain in this city, and ye have filled the streets thereof with the slain. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, your slain whom ye have laid in the midst of it, they are the flesh, and this city is the cauldron. But I will bring you forth out of the midst of it. Ye feared the sword, and I will bring a sword upon you, saith the Lord God. And I will bring you out of the midst thereof, and deliver you into the hands of strangers, and will execute judgments among you. Ye shall fall by the sword, I will judge you in the border of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. This city shall not be your cauldron, neither shall ye be the flesh in the midst thereof. But I will judge you in the border of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, for ye have not walked in my statutes, neither executed my judgments, but have done after the manners of the heathen that are round about you. It came to pass when I prophesied that Pelatiah, the son of Benaiah, died. Then fell I down upon my face and cried with a loud voice and said, Ah, Lord God, wilt thou make a full end of the remnant of Israel? Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, thy brethren, even thy brethren, the men of thy kindred, and all the house of Israel holy, are they unto whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, Get you far from the Lord, unto us is this land given in possession. Therefore say, Thus saith the Lord God, Although I have cast them far off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. Therefore say, Thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof, and all the abominations thereof from thence. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them an heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, and keep mine ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord God. Then did the cherubims lift up their wings, and the wheels beside them, and the glory of the God of Israel was over them above. And the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city, and stood upon the mountain which is on the east side of the city. Afterwards, the Spirit took me up, and brought me in a vision by the Spirit of God into Chaldea, to them of the captivity. So the vision that I had seen went up from me. Then I spake unto them of the captivity all the things that the Lord had showed me. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us prayer. O Lord God Almighty, thou who fillest immensity, thou who seest everything and discernest every thought of every heart and mind, thou who didst in the person of thy dear Son condescend to come where thy people are, to become a worm and no man, that thou shouldst lift them up on high. Oh, we plead the name of thy dear Son. We plead the promise, fear not, worm Jacob, for I will help thee, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. We do plead for thy mercy here this day, that our gathering together may truly be unto the heavenly Shiloh. Lord, gather us, we pray. Draw us. Conduct, bless, guide thy sinner train to Calvary where the Lamb was slain, and with us there abide. Show us the place where grace abounds. Direct us to the bleeding wounds of our incarnate God. Oh, we do pray that thou wouldst grant that we may receive thy mercy. Thou knowest those that have come up to thy house, and even now as they sit in thy house, they are pleading the prayer, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. May they go down to their house justified. And Lord, if any came not praying that prayer, oh, put it in their hearts even now. Bring us to pray that prayer, Lord. We are so inclined to pray the prayer of the publican, the Pharisee rather, to pray thus with ourselves. But Lord, not when thou hast made us to feel what we are, to see and realize that we are nothing but a sinner and the vilest of them all. That thou hast mercy, but thou must grant it if we are to have it. But thou hast bidden us ask. Hast thou not said, ask and it shall be given thee? Oh, help us to ask in faith, nothing wavering. Lord, give us a right motive in asking. Lord, we do pray. The glory of thy name in our soul salvation. Lord, that thou mightest be glorified in the forgiveness of all our sins and in the subduing of all our iniquities, in the making fruitful of the bough and branch. Lord, in saving the vile sinner. Lord, in bringing back the wandering prodigal. In bringing near those that are far off. Lord, in changing the heart, renewing the will, and turning the feet to Zion's hill. In doing what thou hast said in thy word this afternoon, taking away the heart of stone, giving us a heart of flesh, giving us one heart to know thee and to walk in thy statutes, and in thy commandments, for we confess with shame, Lord, we have not. Lord, we have come short of thy glory. We have done that which we ought not to have. We have left undone that which we ought to have. Oh, wretched men that we are. Oh, deliver us from the body of this sin and death. Get to thy great name, Lord, we pray. Glory and honour. Oh, even in our case, oh, might we be the chosen subjects of thy grace. Chosen by thee ere time began. Oh, Lord, make it clear, make it known. Cause us truly, daily to choose thee in return. Lord, we pray for deliverance from the old nature which would never choose thee, which will ever choose to run into ruin. Lord, we pray for the subduing of it. Lord, may faith be given as it was to Moses, to make that choice that our flesh would never make. To choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Lord, forgive our wretched choice that we've made so often. Deceived and being deceived. The pleasures of sin. Lord, we pray, blot out as a thick cloud our transgressions, and as a cloud our iniquities. Remove them far from us as the east is from the west. Take us and plunge us in the precious fountain, open for sin and for uncleanness, all uncleanness. We do pray. So may we be favoured this day. In the name of thy dear Son, for his sake, on account of what he has done, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension and intercession. Oh, look on the face of thine anointed. Oh, look not upon us because we are black. Lord, we plead, make us whiter than snow. Bless this church and people here. We thank thee for maintaining them and upholding them. We thank thee for every blessing thou hast granted in this place and in the homes and private pathways of thy people that gather here. Go on to be gracious to them. And grant to Zion here and wherever she is in the earth the outpouring of thy Spirit. Lord, that we may be restored from all our desolations, recovered from all our backslidings, warmed from all our lukewarmness, made nigh from all our far-offness, cleanse of all our unrighteousness. Detect, destroy, Lord, in us what is not thy own. Search us and know our hearts and try our thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in us and lead us in the way everlasting. We pray for the blessed Spirit's quickening work. Oh, may there be those born again of the Spirit even this day. And in the days to come, Lord, as time shall be lengthened, may Zion be blessed with converts, even according to thy promise. Oh, Lord, may sinners be brought to a blessed faith in the Son of God. Oh, Holy Spirit, this is thy work. We plead for it. Increase our faith. Grant faith where there is none. Maintain faith, Lord, where it is sorely tried. Lord, do not quench the smoking flax. Do not break the bruised reed, we do pray. But raise the smoking flax to a flame and stand at the right hand of the poor bruised reed. Be thou their strength, their uprightness, their all. Lord, grant this people here and the churches represented the real blessing of the Lord, to know thee, Lord Jesus, and thy Father by the blessed Spirit. Lord, to follow thee, oh, blessed flock that is found following thee. Lord, bless this people here and thy people throughout the world. Gather thy people. Lord, bless them indeed. Do them good. Help them. Appear for them, the afflicted, Lord. We commend them to thee. Be very merciful and gracious to them this afternoon. Those that would be here if they could. Laid on beds of affliction. Draw very low. Oh, be with them. Make their bed in their sickness. From the affliction take the curse. Lord, thy dear handmaid, the wife of the deacon here this afternoon. Oh, we do pray for her. Thou hast been very merciful and gracious. Thou hast appeared, Lord, unto her. Give her to feel the everlasting arms underneath. And that mighty, that great rock at her side. shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Lord, we pray for help for the dear ones. Lord, we thank thee for upholding them till now. Do still go on to be gracious. Uphold them and each one of us. Lord, others, Lord, some known to us, they're all known to thee throughout this world. Bodily afflictions, circumstantial afflictions, poverty, loss. Oh, those that are sorely buffeted by the adversary. Those who are persecuted for thy name's sake. Those, Lord, that have not an assembly like this that they may meet in like we do without fear of let or hindrance. Oh, Lord, we pray for them. Bless them indeed. Be a little sanctuary to them. Wherever they are, we pray. Avenge thine own elect. Grant thy people an abundant entrance into thy kingdom. Those that are called, Lord, for thy name's sake to lose their life, bless them even as that is blessed, even with the grace to forgive their murderers and ask thee to forgive them. And the grace, Lord, of faith to see the heavens open. The Lord Jesus, the Son of Man, standing on the right hand of God. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Lord, in however we come to our end, and we must come to it, and it will be soon, swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Oh, prepare us. Lift us, Lord, above these things here below, that we so cleave to and grovel amongst. Oh, quicken us, we pray. Grant us the wings of faith, Lord, that gospel that not only bids the sinner fly, but gives him the wings to fly with. Lord, oh, what cripples we are, thou knowest. Oh, may we know even this day that gospel to make a cripple sprightly. Lord, quicken us. Have mercy on us. We thank thee for thy goodness. We're able to meet in this way. Lord, the deliverances thou hast given, the preservation thou hast bestowed. Lord, we thank thee for lives given and lives spared. Pray for thy continued mercy in this respect. To those, Lord, that in the coming days and weeks expect according to thy will, Lord, thou wouldst kindly grant them the safe delivery of the unborn child. We ask, Lord, thy mercy, patient waiting, that quietness of spirit as the hour of trial draws near. And Lord, in it, Lord, to prove the mountain made a plain, better to us than all our fears. Lord, if thou wert pleased to kill us, wouldst thou have shown us these things, and wouldst thou have received an offering at our hand? Lord, bless parents, bless children, bless thy people. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1098. O God of mercy, hear my call, my load of guilt remove, break down this separating wall that bars me from thy love. Hymn 1098.
reflections on the Lord, I venture to direct you this afternoon to the book of the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 11, reading verse 16. Ezekiel, chapter 11, verse 16. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, although I have cast them far off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. Ezekiel tells us in verse 5 that the Spirit of the Lord fell upon him and said unto him, speak. And what a mercy it would be if this afternoon the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me in speaking and upon you in hearing, that this word should really be spoken into your heart and be fulfilled. For though the promise clearly was given to the people of Israel and Judah in regard to their particular circumstances, it is a word to all the Lord's people in every generation. We read that no scripture is of any private interpretation. The word that was spoken to Joshua, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Holy Ghost by the Apostle Paul in the writing to the Hebrews says to them, he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And you see, the Lord's people in every generation are no different from the people of Israel and Judah. And so they must and they shall suffer that which came upon the people of Israel and Judah, even the scattering. It may not be a geographical scattering as it was in their case, but it is a scattering, a separating. We sung in that hymn just now, the prayer of the child of God who knows he's scattered, who knows he's separated. And he prays to God, break down this separating wall that bars me from thy love. Jonah said, I am cast out of thy sight. The mighty not expect so. When he had behaved like he had. But wasn't the Lord a sanctuary to him? Even when he was cast out of God's sight. When my soul fainted within me. And that's the reason why he scatters his people. That their soul may faint. Because if your soul is quickened by grace, if your soul is a living soul by the work of the Holy Ghost, your soul must faint when it realizes where you are, far from God. When my soul fainted within me, he said, I remember the Lord. The Lord reminded him. That's how he remembered. And my prayer came in unto him, even into his holy temple. Therefore say, this is what the Lord will have his ministers preach. Therefore say, Lord, if it should be said to you, poor scattered soul, this afternoon, you would say, O beautiful upon the mountains, at the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. Therefore say, the word of the Lord, the promise of Almighty God. My dear friends, young and old here this afternoon, forever the word of God is settled in heaven. While there is a people here on this earth, until the earth, while the earth remaineth, God will have a people here upon this earth. This word will stand. And it will be fulfilled. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God. Although I have cast, the Lord has cast far off. The Lord has cast them far off. What did Jacob's sons say when they opened their sacks and found their money in the mouth of the sack? What is this that God hath done unto us? God hath cast them far off. True, he used the bitter and hasty nation, the Chaldeans, to do it. But it was God that did it. That is why he spoke so solemnly and he gave such a solemn word to those that resisted the Chaldeans. Those that resisted the Chaldeans, the Lord said they would perish. But those that submitted and allowed those Chaldeans to take them out of their country to another country hundreds of miles away, they would be preserved. Why? Because there was a submission to the just and the righteous judgment of God. Because there was an attendance. You see, that was a solemn thing. There was an attendance to the word of God. And you see, my dear friends, no one has any excuse this afternoon concerning the scattered, desolate condition they are in. The Lord has so clearly and faithfully warned us. That if we walk in disobedience to his commandments and his statutes. If we walk after the ways of the world. If we leave him. If we disobey his word. He will visit our transgressions with the rod. And our iniquity with stripes. But his covenant will he not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of his lips. And this is, of course, the foundation of the promises in the text this afternoon, the covenant of God. Although I have cast them far off among the heathen, although I have scattered them among the countries. When the breath of the Almighty is a scattering breath, when his judgments have a scattering effect, oh, the power of the Lord God Almighty made known. When the Lord scatters, oh, what a scattered people there are then. There is no holding together is there when the Lord scatters? There is no making a good show of it when the Lord scatters. When the Lord scattered Jonah, there was no way he could make a good show of it. He comes to the point where he says, I know that for my sake, this evil is come upon you, cast me overboard. What a scattered man he was. You see, when the Lord scatters a people, only the Lord can gather that people. A scattered people scattered by the Lord are not going to be gathered by men. Because the Lord has scattered them because of their sins. Their sins against God. God alone can forgive those sins, can blot out those sins. God scatters them because of the hard heart they had. And the perverse nature which prevailed. God scattered them because they were rebels against him. God scattered them because they were backsliders. They were idolaters. They were adulterers. They were fornicators. They were thieves. And only God could change that person. Though I have scattered them among the countries, among the countries. There's a particular way in which I would just speak of this, scattering among the countries. You see, as Israel represents the promised land, it represents the promised land of glory, the promised land of Christ, everlasting and eternal kingdom. The land flowing with milk and honey. It speaks of a particular people under a particular king. The people of God under the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The flock of Christ under the care of himself, their blessed shepherd. A land appointed for a people, but now they're scattered in other countries. What does it appear like? It appears that this people are no longer the people of God. It appears that this people are no longer under the care of God. It appears that this people are no longer under the ministry of God. Isn't that often what these scattered people are made to feel? Are there those here this afternoon and how this description of being scattered among the nations so describes your felt condition? You had a hope that the Lord gathered you unto himself. That he put you among the children and gave you a pleasant land, a goodly heritage. You're blessed with his grace, with his love, with his mercy. The light of his countenance shone upon you. The dew of the Lord rested on your branch. And the candle of the Lord shone round about you. That's Christ. And oh, you felt to be such a favored one, such a blessed one. But you have sinned, you have transgressed. That world that once was slain unto you, the world was crucified unto you. And you unto the world. Gradually, you've gone back to it. That throne of grace that you were so favored with communion with Christ, gradually you've left that throne of grace. That Christ that you're in such love with, that first love, is grown cold. You've left your first love. The Lord is now in beginning to deal with you for your sins, because he loves you. He has scattered you among the nations. It's because you went after the nations. It's because you went after the heathens. You think of that godly man Solomon, what he prayed for, and what the Lord gave him, such wisdom. But all those wives and those concubines from the heathen nations that he went after, you that once wanted to hear the Lord's voice and his voice alone, whose soul could be cheered, refreshed, set at ease and at peace by no other music than the blessed gospel, divine harmonious sound, as the hymn writer puts it. And you've gone after the sort of thing that Saul had played to him, the playing of the harp. So the fancy of your carnal ears and the fancy of your carnal eyes, oh, when you were brought into the blessed union and fellowship with Christ, when you were brought to know him, it was him you wanted to see above all other. And you said, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. And the Lord did it by giving you a glimpse of himself. And now those eyes have wandered. The devil has done what he did to Christ. When he did it to Christ, he failed. Blessed be God. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He failed when he did it to Christ. Should we be surprised that he comes and does it to his people? He took him to the pinnacle of the temple and set before him all the kingdoms of this world. All the kingdoms of this world. And said, I'll give you all this if you fall down and worship me. Then you haven't stood as Christ stood. You've fallen. Step by step, the adversary has got in. He's drawn your affections away from Christ. Now you've lost the blessed, favored realization of being one of Christ's people. You've lost in your soul's experience the sense of pardon. You've lost his ear. You've lost his face. You've lost his sacred influence. As I was busy here and there, said the man of old, he was gone. And when the child of God is brought by God to realize Christ is gone, what a scattered people they feel to be, scattered among the nations. Does the Lord cause you to look upon yourself and say, what's the difference between me And those that make no profession of Christ's name at all, searching question, isn't it? It's not a matter of the clothes we wear that we must come to the house of God dressed reverently, respectfully, of the one whose house it is. But did we not read this afternoon that the Lord, he knew every thought that came into the mind of those people? What a solemn consideration, my dear friend. Is it any wonder? We are a people scattered. But the Lord here says, although I have scattered them among the countries, I think of that word of the psalmist, what a good prayer it is. With regard to this scattering among the countries, be not silent to me, lest I become like them that go down into the pit. You see, the people thought God would allow them to still stay in Canaan when they were worshipping idols, when they were disobeying God's word. And you see, this is what the devil tempts the child of God with. You don't need to be so particular. He may even completely misquote or misapply scripture. It's all right. You're bound up in the covenant. God's love is an unchanging love. Give yourself a little ease in this matter. Do not be so particular about this thing. God is particular about those things. Scattered among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. Yet, oh, the Lord's yes. In other words, despite all that my people have been, and despite my solemn judgments which I have poured upon them, and despite how far they are from Jerusalem, yet, why is it? Why is there this yet? The Lord is speaking to a particular people. He's not speaking to the whole population of the world. He's speaking to a particular people. You say, how shall I know then that I'm among that people? Does the description of the people fit you? A people scattered and peeled, says the prophet Isaiah. The peeling, we believe, referring to the peeling of the shoulders, as Mr. Philpott brought it out in one of his well-known sermons. We take that as the proper interpretation of that. The peeling of the shoulders because of the carrying of the yoke. The hard yoke of Egyptian bondage and then the hard yoke of Assyrian bondage. People scattered and peeled. Yet, a people whom he loves. Because he loves, he chastens. But because he loves, he chastens for their good. There isn't any penal chastisement of a child of God
There is no pain or wrath poured upon them from on high, or else thou must slay them and cast them into the bottomless pit. No, it is in love, he corrects, yet. And it is in love, he says, yet. And not only in love, but in covenant faithfulness. Dear David comes down to the end of his days, and this is his strength and his consolation, isn't it? And nothing else. He hath made with me. My house is not so with God, but he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. This is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. I will be to them. I will be to them. The Lord himself. And he's speaking, of course, of himself in the person of his dear son. Jesus Christ, the incarnate Son of God, is the sanctuary in our text. I will be to them. There is no other that can be this to these people. There is no other who is such a person, who has such strength and such glory and such beauty. There is no other person who is appointed, who is capable of being that sanctuary and that refuge we sung of in the first hymn this afternoon. There's no other. I will be God himself, the sanctuary, in the person of his dear son. Now, this blessed sanctuary, this blessed sanctuary, place of refuge, that clearly comes forth in the meaning of the word sanctuary. It brings before us, does it not, a place of refuge, of safety in the midst of dangers, of death, of destruction. The sanctuary. The refuge. The cave Adullam is one of the places that set forth this sanctuary. David himself resorted there, and to him resorted those that were in distress, those that were in debt, and those that were discontented, and he became a captain over them. David fled there for safety, for refuge. And everyone that fled to him in that place fled there for the same reason. They were in danger. And the cave Adullam was the place of refuge, of safety. A sanctuary. The Lord Jesus Christ, the sanctuary for these sinners. A sanctuary for these who are under the judgments of God. A sanctuary for these who are far off from home. A sanctuary for these who had lost all their assurance, if they ever had it. And we must bring in here this afternoon those that have never had it, of being among the Lord's people. Like the prodigal son. How many hired servants in my father's house have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and say, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. The sanctuary Now the Lord Jesus is this, and he alone is this, in that he was made sin for his people, that they might be made the righteousness of God in him. What a sanctuary. For the sinner who has brought upon themselves such solemn judgment, who is in such a state of guilt and misery, what a sanctuary. Because in the person of his dear Son, the Father declares forgiveness for the sinner that flies unto him, the sinner that enters into him. And think of John 6, where the Lord says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. You see, and in our text, let me emphasize this, the Lord says, I will be. He will make himself so. And he will make the people fit to enter into this sanctuary. And he'll bring them into this sanctuary. I will be to them a little sanctuary. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. The work of the Holy Spirit in their heart will make these people small enough to enter into Christ. Is it not significant that God says here he will be unto this people a little sanctuary? Someone might say, well, that can't mean that this sanctuary is Christ then. How could the incarnate Son of God be called a little sanctuary? Well, read what he says of himself in Psalm 22 and you'll get the answer. But I am a worm and no man. The infinite God became, in his redeeming work, a worm and no man. But the point I want to bring out from this word is a little sanctuary. There is not room in Christ for big people. Great sinners, yes. You cannot be too great a sinner. But the greater a sinner you feel to be, the littler a person you feel to be. Worm Jacob, the only sanctuary for him is the blessed incarnate Son of God, the God-man, who though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Who though he was creator, became, as he says, a worm and no man. Oh, smitten by his Father for his people's sins. I mentioned just now that blessed truth of his standing against the devil's temptations and how real they were. That humiliation which he suffered in becoming a real man, that he should be able to be really tempted. And that temptation the Holy Spirit records as being tempted in all points like as his people are, yet without sin. And that temptation the Holy Spirit records as being part of his vicarious sufferings. Vicarious means in the place of others. In the place of others, he suffered being tempted and stood against it. But how little is that poor sinner who really is brought to enter into him, who stood against the devil? Because no one enters into him who stood against the devil but that one who feels they can't stand. And how little they are then. And that one that enters into him because they are such a vile, wretched, undone sinner and they have got a catalogue of offences against Almighty God. And they can't remove one of them. And they can't promise God anything. They cannot promise him that they'll be better because they've tried that and they've failed. They cannot come to him with great faith. They cannot come to him with great living, strong desires. They come to him as a lost, undone sinner. They cannot come to him saying, Lord, I've prophesied in thy name. I've cast out devils. I get tithes of all that I possess. They can't come to the Lord saying, I am not as bad as others. Oh, be unto them a little sanctuary. This word little then I'm speaking of in the same context as the Lord Jesus spoke of the gate being narrow and the way being narrow. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Oh, be unto them as a little sanctuary. The Holy Ghost bringing them into this sanctuary and keeping them in this sanctuary. Praying the prayer of the publican in this sanctuary. Begging mercy, pleading forgiveness, pleading salvation through his precious blood in this sanctuary. I'll be unto them as a little sanctuary. In doing, in pleading his name, in pleading his blood, the Lord is a sanctuary to them. The word sanctuary brings before us something else. It is a little sanctuary in those places where they are. So what the Lord is saying is, he himself will be their protector, their separator. If we think of some of the people in whose cases the Lord fulfilled this word, men like Daniel, Ezekiel himself. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. Mordecai, Esther, Nehemiah. The Lord in those places separated them unto himself. He made them a separate people. How? By the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He brought them into great trials. But he was with them. You know, a sanctuary, a very important thing concerning this sanctuary is, I will make known to my people in those places my presence. My presence. You see, that is what the Lord said right at the beginning of the appearance of such a place. Let them build me, he said. Let them build me. In the book of Exodus, this is a sanctuary that I may dwell with the people. And we know that sanctuary represented Christ. Everything about that sanctuary, everything about the tabernacle in the wilderness, everything about the temple represented Christ in type. His presence. Oh, my dear friend, what a blessing. To find in your scattered place the Lord to draw near and draw you unto himself. But Jonah found it in the belly of the great fish. What I want to say now concerning this sanctuary is brought forth. In Psalm 96, verse 6, we read, honour and majesty are before him, strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. The strength and the beauty. I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I've exalted one chosen from among the people. I have found David, my servant. He doesn't speak of David, King David. He speaks of David's greater son. I've found David. With my holy oil have I anointed him. One that is mighty. Mighty to save. The might of his precious sin atoning blood. The strength of that blood. If that blood be applied to your conscience, your sins will be blotted out forever. If that blood be applied to your heart, the stone will melt into wax. All the hardness will be removed. And if that mighty one speak, that unbelief of yours will be conquered by it. And you will believe. Woman, believe me, he says. And she did. You believe in God. Believe also in me, a little sanctuary. There's an entering into his person. Through the word he speaks, through the Spirit's revelation of himself, there's a hiding in him. A sanctuary is a place of hiding, a strong hiding place. A man shall be as an hiding place and the wind a cover from the tempest, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land, as rivers of water in a dry place. Zechariah, a prophet of the Lord at a similar time in history, he says in his prophecy many precious truths concerning the man Christ Jesus, the God-man. This sanctuary, his strength. My dear friend, however strong and that is, an infinite strength Almighty God has, that infinite strength out of Christ can do nothing but devour. That infinite strength out of Christ can do nothing but destroy. But in the man, Christ Jesus. And Zechariah said, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a man among the myrtle trees in the bottom on a red horse. A man. I will be a sanctuary. Oh, as the Lord appears to help poor cast out sinners, the Lord appears to help those who are under the Lord's judgments. And how could he be a sanctuary to them unless he had been under those judgments in a more complete and an infinite way himself? These people are scattered by God because they're lawbreakers. Who could be a sanctuary to them but a lawful fellow? And who can be a lawful fellow but the man, Christ Jesus? These deserve to die and die eternally. Who could be a sanctuary to them but he who died for them, that they might live forever? Here is the strength of this sanctuary. I will be this. Who could be a sanctuary to a sinner who's got no righteousness of their own to plead, but he who is the righteousness? And how could he be that, except he be the man, Christ Jesus? Oh God, he is eternally righteousness. But out of Christ, that righteousness can have no application to sinners. But in sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemning sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in them, he is this little sanctuary. I will be, the Holy Ghost will make him so. This is what I want to emphasize, my dear friend, the sanctuary. The sanctuary brings before us, a holy, sacred atmosphere. A holy, sacred presence. A holy, sacred security. What the Lord here says is, I will make my name, my Son, known to you in those places where you're scattered. I'll make him a reality to you, such a reality as you shall have in these places where you're scattered, the blessings of Jerusalem, the blessings of the care of Almighty God. At least you shall have that ground upon which your soul shall hope, that ground upon which your soul shall be sheltered and defended. God's promises in his dear Son, the beauty, his sanctuary beauty, the beauty of the Lord. These people are scattered, cast out into countries. Oh, their ugliness had appeared before the Lord. They had shown to the Lord all their ugliness. Through those temptations of the adversary that they've fallen into, the allure of the world, the wickedness of their evil hearts has come to the surface. What an ugliness. But now this sanctuary, the beauty of the Lord. The beauty of the Lord. That beauty that the child of God, the backslidden one, that beauty that once that backslidden one saw, was so taken with it. But now they've turned to him the back and not the face. What beauty when the Lord says to such a one, return, O backsliding daughter. Peter thought he knew something of the beauty of the Lord. But he never knew the beauty of the Lord so much as after he had denied him with oaths and curses, the Lord turned and looked upon him. He went out and wept bitterly. That's the beauty of the Lord, the beauty of the sanctuary. I will be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. The safety of this place. The one who stood against the adversary. For them, in this sanctuary, they are defended from that adversary. The one who fulfilled the law in every jot and tittle in this sanctuary. They're sheltered under that obedience. The one who suffered, who bled and who died and rose again in this sanctuary. The blood speaks peace and pardon and justification. The blood being, the shedding of the blood being the final part of the obedience of Jesus Christ. But oh, what the Lord says here, my people shall be in this sanctuary. So you have, child of God, poor, cast out, scattered sinner this afternoon, you have in the Lord's word a plea. Lord, thou saidst thou wilt be a little sanctuary to thy people in the places where they're scattered. Make thyself that sanctuary to me. He does not forbid the backslider from returning to him. He does not forgive the gross transgressor from coming unto him. He says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Return, O backsliding daughter, he says, for I'm married unto you. Come into my presence. You know, this word is fulfilled when the Lord draws that sinner to his feet for the first time, perhaps for a long time. Or you may have continued saying your prayers. And the Lord may in mercy have in providential things and in many ways answered those prayers. Because you know, our salvation doesn't depend on our praying. But it is through praying that the Lord is pleased to grant blessings. And above all else, it's the blessing of his presence. The blessing of communion with him. The blessing of contact with him. The blessing of him showing his face. Oh, be a little sanctuary. When he sees that sinner, why, it's him that's doing it. Weeping, mourning, saying to the Lord, Lord, may I come to thee again? Wilt thou have me back? Wilt thou receive me again? And what does his word say? What does he himself say? Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I'll be a little sanctuary. From every trouble, he's a sanctuary from the devil, he's a sanctuary from sin, he's a sanctuary from the world. But you see, when you're in this sanctuary, that's the remedy for your worldliness. The sanctuary shuts the world out and shuts you in with Christ. It shuts the devil out and shuts you in with Christ. It shuts your sins out and shuts you in with him. So you that are scattered this afternoon, the Lord says, I'll be a little sanctuary to them. I'll do the separating. I'll do the separating. I'll do the cleansing. I'll do the renewing. My dear friend, what a sanctuary. What a strong, what a beautiful sanctuary. And in that psalm we read, the psalmist desired to see his power and his glory as he had seen it in the sanctuary. In Christ is the power of God, not only to put away sin, but to subdue its power in us. I will be a sanctuary. He will not tell the poor outcast to flee to Sinai, the law of God. He'll bid them flee to Christ, to Mount Zion, to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. He will receive, he will take in that penitent little sinner who comes saying, Lord, I've sinned, but I can't stop sinning. Oh, Lord, save me. Now, that's repentance. He'll not turn away that sinner. Lord, my sins have hardened my heart and I can't soften it. Soften it for me. The sanctuary is the place of softening. Lord, I've let in idols and I can't turn them out. Lord, I fear that even in this scattered place I'm in, still my soul will not be any better than it was. There will be not be any benefit through me being scattered. Lord, come and save me. Come and bless me. And he takes the sinner in, into his presence, into the renewed discovery of Christ. You know, that's what we need. A renewed discovery of Christ. And only God can give us that. But Christ takes in unbelievers. He takes in blind people. He takes in deaf people. He takes in helpless. He takes in dead people. He says, thy dead men shall live, a sanctuary. The glory of that sanctuary, his love, his mercy, his righteousness, his faithfulness. To discover it all. You see, when you were backsliding, sinner, when you were committing these sins that led to the Lord being so wroth with you, you were holding Christ in your head. It was all theory with you. And that doesn't have any effect on your heart, and it doesn't have any effect on your walk, and it doesn't have any effect on your conversation. You can have your head full of the theories about Christ. Be no different from the most profligate wretch on this earth, who's got no theory of Christ in his head or anywhere else. But oh, let the Lord in mercy, and if he is yours, if you are his, he will do it. He will draw you into his sanctuary. And you'll know something more than a theoretical Christ. You know something more than the theory of the blood. Something more than the theory of the love and the mercy and the grace. The power of it, to see thy power. And thy glory, as I've seen it in the sanctuary. When he speaks to you, and you're immediately in his sanctuary. When the Holy Spirit opens up the word of truth and reveals Christ, and you're immediately in his sanctuary. And you're like a little child, but not a stranger or a guest. but like a child at home. Well, there's that beautiful hymn 173, isn't there? The hymn writer begins by saying to the Lord, Lord, I've no sanctuary but thee. What a blessed theme he ends his hymn on. The raising of his dust from the grave and the Lord being forever his sanctuary in heaven. A holy sanctuary. Christ has holiness enough to sanctify us all. That is each of his people. Amen.
The collections today are for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund, and tea will be served shortly after the close of the service. You are kindly requested to return for the tea to the same seat where you have been sitting. There is a seat number at the end of the ledge, and those in the gallery are requested to have the tea downstairs and will be shown to your seat. And let us close with hymn 329. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid to your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say? And to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled. 329.
Thank you.
thank thee for thy word. Pray thy blessing upon it in continuance. Forgive all amiss. Bless thy people. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.